Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. We hope you downloaded that. You always can find us on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. I'm not alone in the studio today. Always makes me excited. One of my favorites, she at least comes around once a year. Andrea Batterson, she's with the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame and Museum, and that's usually to talk about the annual Watermelon Classic 5K, and that is what brings you back. So welcome back, Andrea.
It is. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
I saw you in the green room, and I was like, has it been a year? And you were like, I think so, which means it's been another year, or it's going on another year. We have come to the 28th annual Watermelon Classic 5K. Is it true it's one of the longest running and largest 5Ks of Mississippi, if not the, it's one of the, right?
That is correct. I'm under the impression that we are the largest 5K. If there's anyone out there in the state that needs to verify that with me, give me a call. But we are excited. We're looking forward. We're planning for 1,200 participants this year.
Wow. And this is a tradition. I feel like after almost, well, close to three decades, this has now become just a standing tradition in Central Mississippi. But people come far and wide for the uniqueness of the race as well. Obviously, 1,200 runners. That's a lot of folks getting up on their holiday, Andrew, and saying, you know what, let's kick off one of the hottest days of the year by going for a run with 1,200 of our friends and family.
Exactly. And you mentioned it there, the family, and that's what it has become. It's become a family tradition. I've been fortunate enough to be a part of this race for the past 10 of those 28 years, and I've seen families that came with their kids doing the 1 mile fun run who are now
running
in
it.
College and running it and coming back for, you know, on their summer break to participate with their family. So it really is something that brings the whole family together.
So what makes it unique? Why do you think over the years it has grown to be such the event that it is?
Well, I think it's two parts. So the first is that it is a really incredibly competitive race. We see a lot of very serious runners who...
So this isn't just a stroll to earn your cake, you know, your banana pudding later on that day. This is
exactly.
Like, yeah, people come for it.
We do. We do see some incredibly fast runners. So we have cash prizes for our overall award winners. Those are our first, second, and third place in the run for male and female. And then also we have a very competitive team competition as well, and so you'll see your runners from Fleet Feet coming out and competing for bragging rights for the year. We want to see these teams come out and compete.
How does a team work? Is it just collectively where you place all in the 5K?
So a team is up to five people, and we take the top three scores.
Okay.
And so it's the quickest of the top three when you combine them together.
Nobody's ever asked me to be on a team, Andrea.
I mean, they're missing out. You have a 2-2 and everything.
Somebody needs to be on the bottom two. I mean, I'll take one for the team. No, but I think so. That adds to it. And anytime that you add that level of competition, then people want to come back. Is it the same route every year, Andrea?
It has been for the past several, at least 10 years. We do run from starting in front of the Ag Museum on Lakeland Drive, down Frontage Road, then cut through Eastover Drive to Ridgewood. You climb up that Ridgewood Hill and bring it home on Lakeland Drive to finish in the parking lot.
Where there is?
Ice cold watermelon, always served up by our friends from Farm Bureau.
And you couldn't have Watermelon Classic without the delicious watermelon that becomes part of it. You'll also throw in the element of not everything so serious about being the fastest and the quickest in the race, but also the most creative. You mentioned a watermelon tutus. I have a great photo of my daughter and I. We did it 1 year with Rhino. He did not wear a tutu. However, he did wear a cape, I think he did, in the 100 degree heat, or at least humidity, or heat index, should I say, and had a lot of fun. So you see people, they're like, you know what? cash prize is not going to be for me, but I can come out and win having the most fun.
Exactly. And we do a costume contest. We want to see those costumes, whether it's watermelon themed, 4th of July themed. We want to see them. All you got to do is complete the 5K in your costume and you're eligible to win the costume contest. We also have over 160 age category awards. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think a certain Super Talk employee got an age category when he competed.
That in Rhino. Rhino has more medals at the Watermelon Classic than I do. And than anybody else here at the studio, I would have to say. You can hold that record for it because it's just a lot of fun. And y'all do it a little earlier. Like, what time does it kick off?
So we do start at 7:30 with mm-hmm. that 5K run. And because for those who don't want to run, we do have a 5K walk. Also, it's a competitive walk. We've got a lot of competitive walkers.
Y'all take
out.
That serious, too. Like, if you're yes. going to click walk. So that's something that's a little bit different. Sometimes you just go and you can shuffle, do whatever. No, if you're going to do the walk, if you pick up and start putting down, folks will start calling you out.
Absolutely.
If you are in the walking category.
Yes. Yeah. If you're in the walking, you got to walk the entire time. If you think you may want to run walk, go ahead and sign up for the run.
Yeah, because they will call you out. But they should, because there are prizes and things online. It's not just your sort of typical race. Now you can see why over 1,200 people are headed to Central Mississippi for this. So there's time to still sign up. I know it's, 4th of July. Is it a week from today?
Week from tomorrow.
Or tomorrow. So there's still plenty of time to sign up.
Exactly. But you do want to go ahead and get those registrations in now. We have a price increase on June 30th. So go ahead and register before June 30th to take advantage of that lower registration fee of just $30. And that does include a t-shirt. It is guaranteed for the first 1,200 participants that a t-shirt's included. So you want to go ahead and get signed up now.
So this all kicks off at the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame and Museum. Are you guys the ones who thought up the Watermelon Classic 28 years ago, or how did it even get started?
My understanding is there was a gentleman that started the race, and then it eventually became a fundraiser for the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame. It is now our second largest fundraiser to keep our doors open, to showcase Mississippi's incredible athletes to visitors from our state and from across the country.
So as people are coming into Central Mississippi traveling, we talk a lot about the Natural Science Museum, and you got the Children's Museum, and you got the Ag Museum, but right there nestled with all of them, you've got the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame Museum and Museum. The Hall of Fame and the museum. It's two separate things, but all in one place. So what's there for people not on race day? If they want to come and just look through the museum part, see the Hall of Fame, what kind of goodies y'all got in there for them?
So we have an incredible museum that showcases, again, those athletes from all over the state of Mississippi. Most people recognize that we are a powerhouse when it comes to football. We've produced more athletes in the NFL per capita than any other state in the entire country. But we also have other exhibits, including one that is going to be very popular this summer, our Olympic exhibit. Here's your fun fact. Mississippi has sent an Olympic athlete to the Summer Olympics every year since the 1920s. At least one, if not more. And they usually bring home medals.
So absolutely. Yeah.
We're excited to add to that this summer and see who from Mississippi heads off to those Olympics.
That's really cool that you mentioned that, because our guest coming up is bringing the Junior Olympics to Mississippi. So we'll learn more. Track and field, we'll learn more about that. But maybe there'll be one day Hall of Famers within the walls there at the museum. You mentioned that maybe there's some renovations or neat stuff coming. What's happening there?
So we are very excited that our museum has been under renovation for about 8 months now. We do have a few more months left on that project, but it is completely renovating our lobby and exterior of the museum, including the plaza we'll be using for race day. So it's still a work in progress, but you can kind of see where we're headed when you come. But the visitor experience in the lobby and the gift shop is completely changed, and it's going to be completely renovated for our guests to make it more user-friendly as soon as you walk in the front door. So we're very excited about that. We want to continue to see improvements inside the museum as well. We've got new exhibits we're working on all the time. So things will be constantly changing for us.
How often, Andrea, does the Hall of Fame add new folks to it?
Every year. We add up to 8. This summer, we will be adding 8 more Hall of Famers. We're very excited. I'll have to come back sometime after the Watermelon and talk to you more about it. But of those 8, some very, very prominent athletes and coaches. One would be MRA's coach, Richard DeWeese, is going in this summer. And a very, a name most people have heard of, Eli Manning. Oh, well, turns out
what
pretty good at football.
Play golf. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
pretty good at football, and he's going to be going in on that's on August 2nd and 3rd. So we do add those athletes to the Hall of Fame every single year.
Also, y'all are a great place for birthday parties. I have to admit, my child's never had one there, but she's gone to several, and it's indoors, it's cool, and it's a lot of fun for the kiddos. So
it
just
is.
Throwing that out
we
there.
We love to have birthday parties for any kids turning 5 or older.
She's like, but not the babies. And we want to still sign up for the Watermelon Classic, or maybe we want to get tickets to come and tour the Hall of Fame and Museum this summer. How do we do all that?
The best place is our website. So that's going to be msfame.com, like the abbreviation for Mississippi, and F-A-M-E, like the Hall of Fame. And you can sign up for the watermelon on there. You can check out all of these things we're talking about, whether it's the induction or maybe you're just interested in seeing who's in the Hall of Fame. You can find all that information on our website.
All right. Don't make it another year, Andrea. Come back before then, okay?
I will. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. You guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Work a miracle. Nothing but death to us part.
Money should never.
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We're always on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, but don't forget to watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. With everyone thinking about the Olympics in Paris, that's great and all, but we've got the Junior Olympics. They're coming to the Jackson area. You've got your USATF Region 6 Junior Olympic Track and Field event. It's taking place July 4th, July 7th at Hughes Field and Millsaps College. And we got Coach Al joining us to tell us a little bit more. I'm so excited, Coach, that the Olympics are coming to Mississippi.
Yes, it's here.
Because that's about the closest I will get to the Olympics, at least this particular year. And with everybody thinking about all the goodness that's going on with the track and field trials right now, I think we're just all excited. Mm-hmm. And two, just to learn more about the sports and then how the whole process works. So to get into all of that, but first, how did Jackson, Mississippi find its way to hosting this particular region of the Junior Olympics?
We actually had a conference and a meeting to figure out which would be the best host site. Our team hosted the first ever event last summer. So we've been evaluated by the regional office and the national office. Mm-hmm. So they selected us to host the Junior Olympics this year.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so when we hear Junior Olympics, like, what does that mean? What's the age? What are sort of the things? Like,
yeah.
Who's coming?
So who's coming? We got Tennessee. Now, Alabama and Louisiana would be here in the state of Mississippi, ages 6 to 18 years old.
Will it be the same style of events that we see, like the Olympic trials going to Paris? Like I said, your same track and field kind of events?
The exact same events, yes. The decal, the 10 events, the heptathlon, the 10 events, the long jump, the hurdles, the 100, the 3 mile, 2 mile. All the events in the Olympics that's going on now will be in Jackson, Mississippi.
And so I guess these students, are they mostly competing for their like middle school or junior high and sort of high school, and this is just that next level? How are these athletes making it to this particular level?
Yes, so some kids come from elementary, middle school, or high school, and then they transition from the actual school event to summer event. And then what we do in our program, we just mold them, shape them to get them better to the next level. And once they pass this level, then they go to the National Junior Olympics, which will be held in Texas A&M.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Okay, so they win this region. So if it's Region 6, does that mean there's, and I'm sure there are, how many other regions are there that are hosting Junior Olympics that will come to
bunch.
The a bunch?
So within this region, so last weekend we had the qualifying meet between Mississippi and Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So we had 58 kids registered, 55 of our kids qualified for this event that's coming on next week. And out of those, the top 5 will advance to the National Junior Olympics.
That's exciting.
That's
okay,
exciting.
They call you Coach Al. Who
yes,
do you
ma'am.
Coach?
Who do I coach, mm-hmm. or what do I coach?
Both.
but everyone.
Everyone and everything.
Yes.
So obviously probably track and field. So are you just helping like spearhead this, or do you have, or do you also take these students, these student athletes under your wing? Are you coaching the next level?
I am coaching the next level of collegiate athletes. The juniors who want to go to junior college or who want to go to four-year universities, that is my job. My job is to take kids from whatever level they are and help them excel. A little bit of background about myself. I've ran track for, well, since I was maybe 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also ran at Jackson State for 5 years.
What was your event?
Everything.
Long,
so,
short,
so, cross country, predominantly I like the 400 hurdles and 800 meters.
Mm-hmm.
But also ran cross country. I did high jump, long jump, and triple jump as well.
All the things I'd be terrible at. But. I just have a newfound respect watching, which, I mean, you know, it comes around every 4 years and it gets the mm-hmm. hype when you're watching the Summer Olympics and
yes.
you get to see sports that if you don't, or if you aren't intentional about going out and watching and supporting at your high school or your junior colleges or your colleges, sometimes fall off the radar. We don't really see these wonderful things these athletes are doing. But we've got some stellar track and field athletes here in the state of Mississippi at all levels.
We do. In several years, we have national qualifiers, All-Americans that came through the program. And those kids have gone on to college and done well for themselves.
I don't know how to say this, because I feel like with track and field, you have so many good athletes who just fall into your traditional sports, whether it's, you know, baseball, basketball, football on the guys' side, or they fall into like, you know, basketball or softball or whatever on the girls' side. It feels mm-hmm. like sometimes track and field, especially at that, I have a middle school, I have a sixth going into seventh grader, doesn't get the hype that it should to come and try it. Do you feel like that's like more people don't know about the events and that's why more kids don't get into it just at the younger level? Or what do you see in Coach Al?
I think it's for this particular program, it's a summer program. It's just the exposure because
yeah.
predominantly everyone knows about football. You get mm-hmm. AAU basketball or 7-on-7 football, things of that sort. Track and field really doesn't get the exposure that it needs. But also track and field works hand in hand with basketball, with baseball, with football, and all the other sports, gymnastics,
mm-hmm.
cheer. You know, you have to be conditioned in order to, you know, get better in other sports too as well, even soccer.
So, and I think that's, yes. And so I'm like, I hope that this conversation and two, just knowing that these type of events are here in our state encourages kids or parents or grandparents listening, like, get your kid to try something off season or outside of the box that they may not have always been exposed to, because they're running in all these other sports too. They may find a knack in track and field, and who knows where that can take them.
Yeah, and for our program, there's no tryouts. We just welcome you to our facility. Just show up and let's work together.
So do you have to have any background to work with you, Coach Al, like
no,
in terms of running?
No background whatsoever.
Are you going
to
make me throw
for
up?
For my coaches, I will train them where they need to be and what events they want to mm-hmm. have interest in. For my athletes, whatever you have, I'm going to work with you. My goal is to get you to junior college or college to get a scholarship. That's my job.
What, in terms of like running, can you make anybody a better runner?
Yes, mechanics.
So is it kind of like singing? You can. They say, Coach Al, you can teach anybody to sing. I have yet to give that one a whirl too. But is it true that you can turn anybody into a runner?
Yes. Yes, with the proper technique, the proper form, and actually practice. You know, everything you got to practice, you get better at it.
Can you start at any age?
You start at any age, yes. You can start at 5. You can start at 4. You can start at 3.
What's the right age? What's a good age to introduce kids to track? Or like to track and field or cross country or running as a sport?
For mechanic-wise, I started at 5.
Really?
You can start as young as 5. Just dealing with swimming, too.
I'm 35 years behind, Coach Al.
You're 35 years behind? Look, practices, we got practice tonight,
uh-huh.
6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. You're more than welcome to show up.
No, it's hot. No, no, I'm halfway joking. But, yeah. You know, we just had the Watermelon Classic talking about them that's coming up, 28th annual. And I feel like there was a really strong running community for, you know, adults. But then I just wish more kids were encouraged to try the actual, like, track and field. I just watching the Olympics, seeing Megan Long, seeing what the men and women from Ole Miss and other universities are doing on a national stage, to me, I just feel like, gosh, you know, I feel like there's so many kids that could get good benefit, even if they never make it to the Olympic trials,
yes, ma'am.
Out of the sport of track and field.
Yeah, I think with this Junior Olympics, the exposure they're going to have for the program is going to be epic. So I think an influx of kids will come out next summer and participate with Mississippi Track Stars. So I wholeheartedly believe that this is just the groundbreaking point of, hey, track and field is here. It's in your backyard. Why not?
Why not? Just give it a try.
Just why not?
Do you ever pole vault?
I have in high school.
Is it as terrifying as it looks?
It can be.
No, it's terrifying. It's got to be.
But with the proper technique, you'd be fine.
You keep saying that, but I don't know. And they go, and then sometimes they don't make it.
It's like math. You gotta
keep
math.
That is why.
One plus one is
I
two.
I figured it out. Why I will not be good at pole vaulting. Who's, in terms of athletes, do we have any on the radar, maybe high school, junior high, that you're working with, Coach Al, that people should know their names?
Yeah, there's several. I got one kid, Jamari Page, Heaven White is one other kid. There's several kids out there from either the JPS school district or Madison school district. All I'm going to say is I'm not going to be – that's just a quick snippet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be a spoiler. You have to show up.
You have to show up. Okay, let's talk about showing up.
Showing up to the event and then –
How do we show up? How do we buy our tickets? Where do we go?
Hughesville. So you come to Hughesville, and the event's going to be on the 4th through the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And it will start on Thursday. We'll be at 11 o'clock. And on Friday, it'll be at 10 o'clock. Saturday starts at 9, and then Sunday starts at 8 o'clock in the morning.
And then is there like a ceremony for winners each night, or how does that work?
Yeah, they're going to do a ceremony, just basically having the kids 1 through 8, top 5, take a picture and give out medals and awards for the kids. We're also going to do a small snippet of Parade of States. We're going to introduce that to the community so they can see not only the kids from Mississippi, but other athletes from the region that's coming as well.
That's really cool. And if they want more information, maybe just training with you, Coach Al, or taking their track kid to the next level, where can they go to maybe get some more information on all
Yeah,
that?
They can go to mstrackstars.org. Mm-hmm. That's the Mississippi Track Stars website. Or you can go to the USATF Southern Association.org. That's their website.
Mm-hmm.
But for Mississippi Track Stars, you can reach out to me, Coach Al, and I can give you, anyone who wants you, I can give them my number as well.
All righty. Well, Coach Al, I appreciate your time. I think it's super cool what's coming. You'll have to keep in touch with us and let us know who those shining stars are, okay?
Sounds good. They don't want to miss it.
They don't want to miss it.
They don't want to miss it.
Nope. All right, you guys stick with us. We got more good for you coming up next.
This life of luxury, blazing on a sunny afternoon. In the summertime. In the summertime. In the summertime. In the summertime.
From upbeat, positive, and stories that make you smile. This is Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
I wanna follow where she goes. I think about her and she knows it.
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you have downloaded that. You can always find us, too, on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station and on Supertalk TV, which you can find us on your computer or your mobile device. This Friday, you can find Sports Talk Mississippi. They're broadcasting live from the PTG Outdoors on Lakeland Drive in Grenada. On Lakeview Drive, not Lakeland Drive. That's two different places. Lakeview Drive in Grenada. PTG carries Comas Boats and is an authorized Mercury dealer. And this weekend, PTG is hosting the 5th annual Crappie Cranking Classic. It's a family event, and the first 50 kids that are registered get rod and reel combos. For more information, call PTG Outdoors or check out their Facebook page. And if you like crappie fishing, then you may want to go over to supertalk.fm. There's a great article there letting you know about some new regulations that will be coming to multiple bodies of water across Mississippi in July. If that sounds like something that may affect you, just head on over to supertalk.fm and you will find that there. You'll also find the July Mississippi Lottery. In July, the Mississippi Lottery is introducing 3 new scratch-off games. So if you don't want to fish for fish, maybe you want to fish for a good scratch-off ticket, then you got the opportunity for some new games coming out. I would think that's an interesting
job. I would like to talk with who comes up with those games. What do you call? I mean, because they're, it's kind of like, you know, you got to keep them fresh.
Yeah.
But there's also got to be a formula to them. There's got to be a winner, but not many. How do you make it, you know, have a theme and all, like, still stay engaging?
I'm sure when it first started out, they kind of had to pick from maybe a catalog or an industry paper that they already had some that you could just, hey, I need some tickets because we're starting a lottery, mm-hmm. starting to have scratch-offs available that don't require to be attached to a phone card or whatever, so we need some to get going. But I assumed, which is probably the wrong way to do it, but I just assumed, oh, well, you just get these from the scratch-off companies, the people that make these, they probably make them for everybody, which I'm sure the manufacturer probably does have contracts around the country,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't until a couple months into the lottery and I go to the gas station, I see, wait a second, that's an Elvis scratch-off. Pretty sure that would only really be popular in a handful of states,
mm-hmm.
so maybe they are just ordering it from a catalog. And then you see more and more where it's more Mississippi-themed and have Mississippi ties to it and stuff. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, that really is. That must be somebody's job. They're down there coming up with cool ideas to make a scratch-off.
And to be different, but then also go back to, like, what's the formula for it? Like, how do you know that there's not so many out there that's winning or not, or but also keeping it fair, like all the things. All the math, which is obviously why I wouldn't be good at pole vault. Coach Al explained that. The pole vaulting is math. That's the reason I'm not. So probably same with the lottery tickets, too. And apparently the takes two provides players with two ways to play for just $2, all the twos in there. So hanging with me. And all while having a chance to win up to, one more, $20,000. So
are you luckier if you buy it on a Tuesday?
I don't know. It comes out on the 2nd, but that's not on July 2. That just sounds weird.
It's the tooth of the month.
So there's 6 mini bingo cards with prizes up to $75,000. I'll have to say, you know, y'all know I'm not a lottery player at all. Let's say I'm not a big one, not a small one. I'm not a medium size, but I just don't. That's just that weird, awkward, I don't know how to buy it. You walk up, feels like, you know, you're trying to order cigarettes under the age 18. Like, I don't know. It's just strange. And you feel like...
Usually you just point or say a number.
I get it. But I'm still amazed at the number of folks that, like, win. And it's usually off the scratch-offs. Like, you see headlines all the time. So-and-so won 5, 15, 50,000 off of just, you know, these scratch-offs. And I'm thinking, wow. And, you know, we do encourage often, like, for fun, whether it be for stocking stuffers, yes, we're halfway to Christmas, or, like, just fun happies or whatever it may be, buying scratch-offs. And I get them for that. Not, I don't buy them. I'm the receiving end of those. And the amount of anxiety, I didn't even buy it. The amount of anxiety that comes with scratching it off, it's like, will I, won't I win? I know for some folks that's like the rush, but I almost just want to keep it. I kept mine. If you were listening back, good things. My sister-in-law gave them, and it just drove my husband crazy that I didn't go straight to scratch it. But it's like this moment of once you do it, it's over. So, like,
Schrodinger's scratch off.
The
cat is both alive and dead as long as the box is closed. The ticket is a winner and a loser as long as it's not scratched.
There's so much truth to that statement. And so I just didn't want to be let down yet. And so I just held on to it for a little while longer. And it just drove him absolutely insane that I didn't go straight to, like, see what was in it. I was like, no, I would like to imagine life where the ending isn't told yet. I don't know what's under there. And then it became fun because it drove him insane. And so I was like, I can absolutely hang on. Because your sister only bought us the dollar scratch off. So we're looking at 5,000 max, which is a lot. But at the same time, we're not going to change our life. Like, we're not paying off the house with that. So I'm going to hold on to this until you just completely sweat. You can't sweat anymore. And then it was over because there was no winnings there. And it was sad. And so I was like, see? That gift is gone. You can't put the little things back on there and not see it scratched off. So
I feel like there's two different camps of people that play the scratch offs. You've got the one camp that are like the professionals, where they know exactly which games they're playing. They know exactly what days they're playing them on. They probably have a lucky number of how many tickets of which ones to buy. And then they have a system, whether it be a big scraper that they just line them up and scrape down to clean it all off, or they got the hand sanitizer trick where you rub the alcohol on there and it dissolves it off.
I didn't know about that one.
Or maybe somebody's got a lucky coin they use on every single one of them.
Is it against the law to let your kids under the age of 18 scratch it for you?
I'm not a lawyer, but if I had to guess, I would say yes and no.
No.
Well, like, it's probably, yes, illegal, but how are they going to know as long as an adult is the one taking the ticket?
Gotcha. Because, I mean, we would never do that, but I would assume if I was that age, that would be a lot of fun to be able to scratch off and see. But, you know, they'll have to wait. And I guess it's not over 18. You have to be do you have to be 18 or 21? Look at me. I don't even know. Do you have to be 18
probably
or 21 to play? Probably 21 to play the lottery.
But
see?
For every professional you've got that has their system, you've got the people that are more like you where it really is a game. Like, they go and they buy the ticket, and it's a paper version of a video game to them, or it's like a board game they can carry around in their pocket, where if you get a scratch-off that's bingo, they may take their time and scratch off each individual square.
That's me! It's so clean and neat and pretty, and, like, I just want to see, I want to take my time and see, I want to sort of figure it out, what it's all about. And, that's how you nailed it. Like, that is absolutely... no, the husband is like full-blown, like, to sort of get it down pat in that way. If you are good at math and, like, statistically speaking and all that, you are kind of, there's ways you can go on and sort of guess and see who's won what and sold what and all the things, but that's an incredible amount of effort to put into it.
I remembered I left out the third group, the people that just get the ticket, scratch the barcode, and hand it back to them, tell them to scan it.
Oh, you can do that, and then it just tells you whether you won something or not. You do it right there.
You don't even have to look. Like, you don't even see under the scratch-off part. You just scratch the barcode and go, scan it. Boop. No winner. Okay.
Okay, and move on. You can't get that money back, guys. But, I mean, I guess if you win $75,000, that's a good day, too. So, do you buy scratch-offs, Rhino?
Every once in a while.
Look at me saying that with, like, a very judgmental, like, you do that? My scratch offs. Hey, I got friends
who
do it.
The most I ever spent was the very first day it was live, and I spent $10 on them that day. Since then, I've bought maybe $20 worth, a dollar or two at a time here and there. Just one of those where I'm standing in line and somebody buys one. I was like, oh, that looks like fun. Yeah, it's $2. What's my ticket? It's 38. Round it up. Give me one of those.
Dwayne and Brandon, you are correct. I did fill the circles in completely on a CD. Nice and neat, because I also do it when I vote. You know, you still have to fill in with the little black pen. If it says black ink, I'm very specific. I need the black ink. And then if it's like
filling in. You got to do the bubble or the arrow.
Oh, the arrow. And I do it very specifically because I'm like, they're going to not take my ticket because if, you know, an error or whatever. And I stood in this line. So
you don't
want to
be a hanging Chad.
I don't know. I want to do it exactly the way that it was supposed to be done. Keith and Meridian said, I've earned nice cash just keeping an eye on very odd coins. So
odd or old?
Old. Old nod.
I mean, odd coins make a pretty penny, too.
Yeah.
I was just saying, I watched a compilation of Pawn Stars last night, and they were going back and forth over this one coin. And I'm going, it's a shiny coin. I wouldn't spend $100,000 on it.
BJ and Brandon, you can check them at the machine at the counter without scratching them off. That makes my head blow. Like, I couldn't do that. It's a scratch off. You got to do it. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
So come on.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Run, boy, run. This world is not meant for you. Run, boy, run. They're trying to catch you. Run, boy, run. Running is a victory. Run, boy, run.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we're streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that app, that Supertalk Mississippi app, that is. Always on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget you can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And we're happy to say that we will air the 12th annual Palmer Home for Children Radiothon coming up on Thursday, July the 11th here on Supertalk Mississippi. Every year there are children across Mississippi that need a loving home. And many times these children are caught in some unimaginable circumstances, and that's why we need your help. So that day you'll learn how Palmer Home for Children serves vulnerable children. It's a faith-based organization. It don't take a dime of government money. So that's why each year we take one day and ask for your help. So we want you to listen in, and we want you to join us for the 12th annual Palmer Home for Children Radiothon. It's all happening on July 11th here on Super Talk Mississippi. And Rhino, hopefully we'll get a haircut. Not that I don't mind your hair, but it's always fun to see you transform once a year. I know you sort of think about it closer to time because that's where we're different. You scratch off probably, like, you probably would take a scratch off and put it under the thing and never actually scratch it to save the time. Oh my gosh, that's like checking out without scanning anything. It just blows my mind.
You can do that too with the app in some stores. You just use your phone, scan the barcode.
You still scanned it. I still saw where they saw that I wanted that item. And it's not about, like, I don't mind paying for it. It's that I need you to know that I paid for it. I don't want to walk out of here feeling like I stole anything or you thinking I stole anything. But I digress.
I have definitely walked out of self-checkout, gotten outside, started loading the car, and then saw something in the bottom of the buggy that wasn't in a bag and immediately picked it up like it was radioactive and walked back inside. And I was like, I didn't take this.
Yes, because you feel like if you were raised right, that is not the Lord blessing you. That is the devil tempting you. And you feel like if you got home with that and you're like, ah, it's fine. They're not going to miss it. SWAT team's going to come in and be like, give me back.
Like, I vividly remember one
those
time.
Those potatoes.
It was a little can of wasabi powder. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool to have, but I didn't take it. I didn't pay for it. Do I need to scan it now? Because I walked out with it.
Yes. Like, hey, just need you to know that this is what's going to happen. So the other day in the grocery store, I didn't not pay for anything, but I had the strangest thing happen. I walked in, and there at a particular store, they have their little sale items up front for, like, meat selections that still have a few days, but not as long, and so they put them on special. And so I got a pack of pork chops, and I got a pack of chicken breast. And I put them in, like, the front of the buggy, like, right there, like, where your child normally would go. I didn't have a kid with me that day. And I went on about my business. I put the chicken on the bottom, and I put the pork chop. I remember vividly. I set them in there. And I went back and shopped. Whatever. Got my stuff. Went to check out. And I'm weird. Yes, I do things. I am one who loads the actual checkout thing the way that I want them to go in the bags and then to sort of get them home. And I got down to all the way to the end. And my pork chops were gone. Like, I never paid for them and then got home and didn't have them. I got them, and then they never made it to the checkout. And so now I'm sitting there, and I have this rest of the meal to go with my pork chops that I thought I had bought. And I'm in this conundrum of, like, do you just forfeit the pork chops and figure it out? Do you go back? And then there's that thinking of, well, what happened? Like, who saw me turn my back and said, I want those $5 pork chops, and took my pork chops? But somehow between the front of the store, me making my round and getting to the checkout, either aliens took them, they disintegrated there within the buggy, or somebody snatched my pork chops. I mean, I didn't pay for them and then they snatched them. That would be worse, but I could never take something out of somebody's buggy.
It feels like a story from Black Friday, but it wasn't a Black Friday deal.
It wasn't a Black Friday deal. There was more pork chops up there. I mean, or it almost is like, who's messing? Who's messing with us? Where did this come from? How do you? You can't explain it, and then you feel incredibly awkward talking to the lady. Like, my pork chops are missing.
Well, it is kind of sad that you didn't have a kid with you, because then
that's when you make them run.
Yeah, no, you leave them there and you go get.
Oh, and then you go and get
so
them.
That the cashier can start speeding up to mess with them, because that's a a generational trauma that needs to be passed down, much like the Land Before Time.
Or the pork chop.
Every little kid needs to see the Land Before Time. Every little kid needs to be standing there at the checkout with the cashier
staring at them,
getting down to the last few items, just looking at them going, are you going to pay for this?
Yeah, I get that. Like, my mom's yes, never send the kid out because they'll take 15 minutes, get lost, and never come back in that way. But every time I've ate my chicken over the week, and every time I look at the chicken, I think, you could have been a pork chop. Like, I still don't know where those pork chops ended up. Somebody took my pork chops. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next. You got the boys from 3 to 6 but with Sports Talk Mississippi. But Rhino and I will meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.